I had to go through the founding and find how far off their commitment to God's purposes most of the church world is. I had to find that they were willing for selfish reasons. I remember the denomination I grew up in. They promised to support us in our appeal to the Supreme Court. The executives met and said, maybe if we don't support Gene and he loses Channel 30, it will finally humble him enough, he'll come back home with us where he belongs. They didn't support us. And I said to myself, anybody that is that small-minded, like a rejected suitor, that would, for selfish reasons, refuse to fight with me on a principle that involves the freedom of the entire Church of Jesus Christ, I wouldn't be caught dead inside their tent. I then decided, you and me, baby, we're going to make it. And I broke and I cut the traces and decided with the same pain. I know what John Wesley went through. I'm a historian. He never wanted to leave the church. I know what Martin Luther went through. He never wanted to leave the church. I know what Paul went through. He went back to Jerusalem to see if what he was doing was actually right and would pass the test, and they put peeping toms on his convert, wanting to cut on him all the time. I had to go through it. I didn't want to leave. I was the president of my current denomination, fourth term. I refused to let my name go again. And I made up my mind that there are people that need to be redeemed from bondage and to hear the good news. And I finally, I think, after all these years, was brought to the place of the Apostle Paul when he said, henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Well, now I know. I couldn't be a compass point, as Claire Grace prophesied, being a part of anything. Because I would have to confirm and conform to their inadequate view of things. As egotistical as it sounds, all established church groups water down to a policy that's a common denominator. Creative theologians can never fit into that frame. And Reformation must break these old wineskins or find new ones to pour in. Now I know God didn't want me to spread abroad until that hurdle was crossed. Now we stand alone. Had fired a pastor here last Sunday, flew out from Washington, D.C. area. He said, don't ever stop smoking that cigar. I was going to introduce him if I'd been here. He said, I'm a Pentecostal holiness preacher's kid. And he said, I really love God and love His Word and have been preaching all these years, but I turned by in Washington and I saw you with that cigar and a Bible. And he said, it made me stop. And it revolutionized him. He's one of many with the courage to risk his own church to preach grace, peace, freedom and faith. That compass point had to be refined before we spread it abroad. But it's been refined. I don't give a damn what any of them think of me. I just want God's Word. Now, with that behind us, you know, a compass A compass doesn't work very well when it's surrounded by too many magnets. Maggots, too, might affect it. I had to get free for that compass to point right. But the third promise, I would become a voice worldwide that people that have been beaten down by the church, and people that have been dumped on, and people that have been confused, and people with minds that God gave them that should open up, have been forced to lace their brain down and feel guilty because they have questions. Now God has turned me free, and ain't no board of presbyters ever going to judge me for what I say. Just, God, you can vote me out, but I'll just preach the same thing somewhere else. I don't think you'll vote me out either. Now listen. We're ready. We weren't ready before. Now, if I had my way, I would have put that prophecy in a different sequence. I would have started with the joy, and I would have followed it with the miracles. Because miracles attract crowds and get money. That's why so many of them are doing it. And money would have solved my problem and perpetuated me worldwide. But God brought me out of the valley to give me some faith in what He had said. God picked the place to establish me. I didn't. I had another place in mind. God now wants to take us nationwide. Now, the miracles happening right now would make it easier. But again, it might just make us quickly categorized as just more of the same. If we can get my voice the way God outlined the sequence, nationwide, with respect from people who've opened up their minds and listened to the truth of what I'm saying, and with that audience, then God in His grace, as the tangential voices start feeling the pain of truth in their midst, God may time it like He did with Aaron, you know. The soothsayers of Pharaoh threw their serpent tricks down. Then God had Aaron's rod eat them all up. I think God is just timing it. It's going to happen, folks. But I think God wants it in His sequence, and He wants faith on our part to take it nationwide, and then He's going to do His part. And then my joy comes. I've been getting an earnest of that inheritance as I painted this last painting of shove it in the face of a bureaucrat. I mean, I sort of have a little faint wafting on the breeze of the joy that I'm going to feel. Of course, He may have another kind in mind. Now, I've told you that story. There's another little P.S. I was awakened in a hotel about 2:30 one morning. Clara Grace was on the phone. She had received a copy, I guess she got it at Meliland, of the book I'd written, A Hole in Rome. She said she got past the first page and halfway into the second page when she had a strange visionary experience. She was so moved by it that she called my permanent number in those days, which was at my parents' house, and my mother told her where she could find me. And at 2 a.m, by the way, can I just say this parenthetically? One of the great joys that I've had is the knowledge that Clara Grace, in her dying years in a nursing home here in Southern California, was able to watch me round the clock and see a little bit of what she had prophesied begin to come to pass. But she called at 2:30. She says, "Gene, again, hope you don't think I'm crazy. But as I was reading this book, which I'd written about Paul's imprisonment at Rome, and out of the gut grinding of a crisis in my own life," she said, "I felt, whether in the body or out of it, I don't know, transported to that dungeon cell in Rome." And she said, "Please don't think I'm crazy, but I saw Paul there." And she said, "I don't know how I knew it was Paul, but I knew it was him. And I was in this prison, and you were over against the side of the wall, just leaning up on your arm, weeping. And Paul was looking. And then he began to communicate to me. He said that he approved of what I had done in the book, that I had captured the real agony and thought patterns that he had, and that I understood what he was saying, and that he wanted her to communicate to me that I had come to grips and understood the difficulties he had with his task in that early church, and that God had called me to do a similar task in the last days of articulating the truth of the gospel against a stiff-necked church." And he said that God had shown him things, and get this clear, because she made it very clear, no new revelation. God had shown him things which were mysteries already contained in God's Word, but God had enabled Paul to lift them out and unfold in the New Testament frame what was enfolded in the Old. And that as God had shown him many of those things, some truths he could not reveal, because the time was not yet to do it, which could have been, among other things I've oft said, the knowledge of the lost tribes that still was not to be revealed. But he went on to say to her that God would show me those things, but the time would be to reveal them, and I'd be allowed to preach them. But he warned, I would have to bear the same rejection and hatred of the established clergy of my day that he had had to bear. Now, at the time Clara called this call in, I was the shining star. I was doing everything free for my denomination. I was Mr. Big. And I was booked in every state convention. I was one of four or five preachers called every time they had a convention. And for her to tell me that didn't seem to make sense, because I always had the gift of narrowing what I preached from God's Word to the common denominator. I wouldn't compromise my principles, but I'd stay off of certain things that I knew would strike the fire. Well, that prophecy has sure come true. Now, we stand at a threshold on this anniversary. I've built my ministry on God's Word, not on what this lady said. But there's nothing that this lady said that contradicts God's Word. And she's sure been right. I think you are honest enough people to know I've been an unwilling pastor for several years. You haven't heard me say it recently, but I used to hope you'd vote me out. That wasn't an act. Now I don't want to go. I'm going to be madder than hell at you if you vote me out. But that took a long time coming. Long time. I think you know it wasn't an act. I didn't want to go national. In fact, I still get mad about it sometimes. I've been telling God for a week. If he doesn't know where New York is, I sure as hell don't want to go there. I mean, you know, there's enough million people there. If he can't find somebody to talk to on that end, why is he whipping me into that damn town that won't pay their bill? I mean, they got more people than Los Angeles. I don't want to go to New York. You don't become a compass to the world, and isolate and go around New York. I'm sorry. I don't go to Chicago either. But I've analyzed that, and I'm decided that he wants me there. So what's this got to do with your text? Circumstances didn't match what God said. He ran down to Egypt. Got into real trouble. God had brought him right back to the path. Nothing had changed. His herdsmen got in a fight with Lot's herdsmen. And old generous Abraham said, "You choose." And sure enough, Lot took the best and left him with the worst. And with everything on the horizon bleak. In the middle of that, God said to him, this is the message, lift up, verse 14, chapter 13. The Lord said unto Abram after that Lot was separated from him. Now, I can really apply that. The Lord said unto Gene after the rest of the church was separated from him. It was real hard for me. I love the church. And it was real hard for me to accept the fact that professional friends of years would now hate me without a cause because I dared to declare the freedom that God's grace has purchased for us. You watched it. When I began preaching on Galatians, grace and peace made everybody mad. After that Lot was separated from him, the Lord said unto Abram, lift up now thine eyes from the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward, westward, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Verse 17, arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it to thee. Now this message is just as much for you as it is for me. Now that I believe it's God's time for us to go national, why in the hell are we having such a hard time getting a $2 million budget that we need to just hold the ground we have? Doesn't make sense. Let's shut off the stations and go down to Egypt and farm a little. When God brought Abram back, you'd think he could have infected the Canaanites with a plague so they'd be dead and it'd look easier. Abram didn't own a square inch. Nothing had changed. And we're right back to this blackboard. It's not enough to believe. Right there is belief. Not enough to believe. You've got to act on the confidence that when God says it, forever settle in heaven. No. We're either the stupidest church in the world and the stupidest pastor leading in the world, or God led us. Indeed, he had to pull 30 from us and pull the rugs out, as I've said, to drive us out. God wants this voice national, so cannot we once for all, wherever we are, damn the circumstances, lift up now our eyes and from the place that we are, claim this nation. That's the message. Why do I have to? Lift up now thine eyes. Well, what's that got to do with me? God has said in his word, you turn to him, he'll turn to you. Why are you here today if you're not chosen? Why are you listening today if you're not chosen? All of God's promises stand on tilt, ready to fall onto you. When you activate his promise, you put him first, turn to him, he'll look for you. Through old Haggai, he said, you put your money in bags with holes in it. Why? Because you don't need a special revelation to tell you now's the time to put a ceiling on your own house. And my house lies waste. Today the house of God is the people that because of their faith have received the grace of His presence dwelling in them. And God's house is sick across this nation, and I have finally decided there ain't no other voice going to bring them the freedom and the message and the truth that will bring faith, that will build up that house, save me, and damn it, you better help me get it out there. Lift up now thine eyes from the place that thou art. Now listen. Arise. Well, let me finish. Thank you for standing. Take your billfold out before you sit down. Go ahead and be seated. Now listen. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it. Less than 3 years ago, when we went off Channel 30, we had to beg stations to go on. They wanted to play reruns so they could edit us. Now, they're knocking at our door. Opening the doors wide. Well, we don't have the budget to carry it. Abram got up and walked. And everywhere he walked, that action of hanging his body on God's promise marked out the territory. Everywhere he went, he looked like a trespasser because Canaanites, Perizzites, and Jebusites lived there. But it was his. Every place he went, it didn't look like God was giving it to him at all. Somebody else's sheep was grazing there. That's what faith is. Now, can we today, on this 10th anniversary, lift up now our eyes from the place that we are and claim the promise? I know God spoke through Clara Grace. As surely as an angel sent Paul west instead of east. But we got to lift up our eyes, say, damn the circumstances, arise and walk through the land and the length of it and in the breadth of it. And I will give it thee. How can you claim that promise? Well, if I didn't even have clear grace, I could claim it. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him amen. And that's one of the all. That's why, you watch me agonize over this, we have walked into New York. Do you know how much God wants us to back out of New York? We have walked into Fresno. They're listening today. You know how much God wants us to back out? We have walked into Chicago. Do you have any idea how much the devil wants us, not God, I misspoke, wants us to back out of any of these? And every single time, Los Angeles, and I would say this to San Francisco, every single time we have lifted up our eyes and not counted the cost or bowed to the circumstances, and every time we've arisen and walked into a new territory in faith, I challenge you to remember, God in a very short time has worked a new miracle of grace and power and provision for Los Angeles. Nobody dreamed Channel 52 would be available. But here we are. Now, has God been faithful? Your salvation in Los Angeles, and I'm telling you, your salvation in Los Angeles is dependent upon you and I keeping the vision and the calling that God has laid on us. And we need to arise today in this 11th year and walk through the land. You need to put me in 150 million homes, and you better believe when I'm in 150 million homes, there ain't nobody going to rock our boat. Now listen. We're on the threshold. All it takes is faith. All it takes is faith. Now, some of you have been given to where you think you can't give anymore. You know better than that. You can't outgive God. We need 500 people to give $1,000 by tonight. If you can't give it by tonight, you can sure give it by the end of November. Now, I've made up my mind this 11th year. I'm going to lift up now, today, my eyes. I'm going to shove cancellation off the desk. And I'm going to lift up now mine eyes. And I'm going to rise and walk and not only claim the territory that we're in, I'm going to claim some more. And I want to know if you'll go with me. I'm not going to ask for specific amounts today, but faith always translates down to the result of your blood, sweat, and tears and toil. And that's money. I don't want to sit in front of that camera at 3 o'clock and beg you to call me. I want every person in this building that's ready to lift up now your eyes from the place that you are and arise and walk with me as we walk into the destiny that God's called us to. You know how much. I'm not going to pin it down, though I need 500 to give 1,000. But whatever you can do, you're going to follow me as I follow Christ into this 11th year, and we're going to rise and walk and become the compass point of truth and grace and faith and peace that God's called us to. I want you to stand right now. Sammy? Come on up here, John. You know what's a fitting song for the end of today's message? Keep on walking. You got to keep on walking. You guys, I'll help you start it. You can finish it without me. But, you know, some churches have big emotional fits at times like this. And they dissipate their energy. Turn this one on. They dissipate their energy with an emotional blowout and then leave and don't do anything else. Do you know that we're bringing fear and trembling to certain quarters across the nation because of our growth? I don't want to have to shift into reverse, and I'm not going to. It better go down full speed. I don't want to end up crippled. I just want to go out in a big explosion. Let's keep moving on.